Welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. Today we're going to talk about technically a ménage à trois.
Whatever do we mean by that, Lori?
What are we talking about? We know we're talking about couples, so we're not going to be suggesting ménage à trois. But what is this?
This is something that I think is so timely.
This is your pet peeve.
This is my pet peeve, and I'm going to have you, you're going to talk me off the ledge here a little bit, probably.
Okay. Because I think I'm on the opposite side of you, just a little bit.
Okay. Well, listen, we can get into that. It is timely, and it is so relevant to what is happening now, but it is the ménage à trois that we're talking about is you, your partner, and your device, your iPad,
your phone,
your computer.
Not all devices, but
not all devices.
but the digital ones, right?
Okay. And that they are coming in between you and your spouse,
and you have
a relationship with your phone,
right?
And let's just admit it. We all do. We're not putting even guilt on anybody here.
I know. Yeah. I feel a little anxious just having my phone outside this door. not being able to access it during the podcast is like, oh my gosh, you know, am I going to live for a half an hour?
Yeah. And that, I mean, and this is like, neither one of us grew up with these things, but and so imagine like this is becoming a huge issue.
It's my security blanket.
It's becoming, the next generation, like it's going to be even worse. Like,
right. They're just going to have chips in their head.
Yeah.
Yeah, embedded.
Yeah. And so I think it is, and especially as it relates to sex, like,
and relationships. Lord.
Like, this is becoming a huge issue.
It is a huge issue. I mean, I have patients who come in and will keep their phone on and they'll look at their phone, you know, I mean, multiple times in the session, wait. It might be the children. Might be the children's school. That's a famous one.
Right.
I have men who come in still taking an appointment on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm like, TikTok, buddy, that's an expensive phone call. Hopefully you make more than I do.
And, that's right.
You know, just go for it. But
yeah. And
that's what their partners say they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will not put the phone down during dinner.
You know there's a word for this, right?
What is it?
It's fubbing. I think I'm saying that right. Am I saying that right?
Somebody
more hip than me. But it's
fubbing.
A word. Yeah. Like fubbing. Where you are snubbing somebody with your phone.
And you're fubbing, like PH.
PH, yeah.
You're fubbing them.
That's right.
You're fubbing them off.
And somebody much younger and hipper than us is laughing at us right now.
Yeah.
But it's a thing. We've coined a term for what we're doing. And then in relationships, in partnered relationships, to me, it is so dangerous and deadly that it kills intimacy, that we are even taking our devices into our bedroom.
Right.
Right. And so it's not
people
just going,
are like Facebooking right after they have sex.
Right.
Stuff, you know, just checking on, texting, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that it's essentially because it is such a relationship we have with our phones that we're bringing a third
party
into our relationship that is beginning to get in the way of our emotional and our physical intimacy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that while we talk so much about sexual connection on foreplay, you know, this is emotional connection, and especially I would say for women, you know, mostly, you know, we need to feel like our partner is present with us or we don't want to have sex with him. And I think men, maybe they're more able to be preoccupied 1 minute and sexual the next.
Yeah.
So they don't get it. You know, well, I was just working.
Yeah.
That was it. I was just working.
Yeah. I was just returning a couple emails.
Just a couple emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those emails are killer.
Well, and it's becoming, I think, one of the things that I think for both men and women that happen is that, and you tell me how you feel about this, is that we need to feel like our partner sees us as number one.
Yeah.
As we are the first priority, that we come before other things, and that we're starting to compete for that spot
with the phone or the Facebook or social media or whatever.
Yeah, or the email or the text or whatever, that we have to respond to those before we pay attention to our partner. And that's where I think that it is starting to become an issue.
I agree. I mean, I go out to dinner and I see so many couples sitting at their table on their phones. You know, I hear young people all the time, you know, they're texting each other and they're in the same room.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we have to be careful because I know that some people listening may think that we're coming off as just old.
Yeah, Adam is not old, y'all. Adam talks old and he's super young.
No.
He has this really deep voice that makes him sound super old, but he's like a young guy. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll take that compliment. But it's, I think it's because I didn't grow up with it.
Sure.
I'd, even as young as I might be, don't feel that way all the time, but I did not grow up with these devices in my hand 24/7.
Right.
And so while I think that they have a place in our lives, and I love, I mean, look, I've got, you know, I haven't put my phone down since we've been taping.
iPad,
but yeah, and so
computer.
I'm all about technology.
Sure.
I just think this is one of the unintended I'll accept that.
No, I know, and I know men out there. I get it. I mean, women too are preoccupied as well. We're preoccupied by our phones, our social media, our Facebook, our email, our work. I mean, I think you're right. I mean, when I think about how much time we spend on electronics now compared to, you know, maybe when I did when I was first married, I mean, zero, right?
Mm.
There was no such thing as a personal computer. See, I really am old.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just evolving. And I think about young people. One scary thing for me and my sons just will kill me when I say this because they're all gamers. But, I mean, I have so many young women who come in and say, you know, we're married. He races home, gulps down dinner, gets on the computer to play games or fantasy football or war games with his buddies till wee hours of the morning. You know, and he does that and then he gets up, goes to work, does it all again. I mean, we have no time for us. And then on the weekends, he sleeps in because he's exhausted from staying up, you know, late all night. And, you know, and then in the afternoon, he's on the computer again all weekend. That's what he wants to do with his weekends.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah.
Yeah. And there are starting to be a lot more studies about the effects of all of these things, video games, social media, phones, computers, like all of these things that are about relationships. And one recently, just earlier this year, found that marriage satisfaction decreases with the increased use of these types of technologies.
Did it have any like per hours? Like we should only spend this many hours on the phone or something?
Well, it didn't suggest that, and they're still exploring it. So I don't know that we can say that it's what we'd say causal. It's not causal, but that a lot of times that it fell along pretty stereotypical lines, right? That women were using it more for social, that they were on social media more, that men were playing video games more. And so when you look at that, like when we're using it, when that is increasing,
ratios,
right, yeah, then we begin to, our satisfaction, our marriage dips because our expectations then start to change.
So I think what we should do is talk about maybe some positive uses for technology, how it can connect people, how it can connect them maybe sexually, and maybe some limitations. So like we get enough of each other to want to connect sexually. Because I would say both parties, right, need to have some eye-to-eye, skin-to-skin time,
absolutely,
you know, where they're putting the phone down, darn it.
Yeah.
You know, put the phone down. You want more sex, put the phone down.
That's right.
Gosh.
All right, so maybe let's come back, let's take a break and come back and get more into that aspect of it.
Good, you're listening to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We'll be right back with more texting.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
Welcome back to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy with sex therapist Lori Watson and couple therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. We are talking technically about a ménage à trois. And we have said basically how our phones and technology have become the third party in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's standing between us as a couple, right?
All right, so you teased at the beginning, though, that you were going to see things differently than I was.
I do. I mean, I do think sexting and some of technology can be really fun.
Yeah.
You know, and can connect people, especially I'm thinking of, like, the shyer partner who's maybe more inhibited, who could be a little freer and kind of step into a more sexual persona via text.
Okay.
You know, via sext.
So using it as a vehicle for what? Foreplay? For moving into kind of a
seduction.
Arousal, seduction?
Yeah. Just to hit up your partner during the day and say something crazy and, you know, set the scene for that night.
Okay.
I think that that's fun.
Yeah, okay. I don't know that I disagree with that part. I think that, I know you have examples of stuff, but like, what do you feel like falls into that realm of helpful? You know what I mean? Like, what are the things that sexting does?
I think that what sexting is great at is it actually allows you to be a different persona.
Mm.
You're not necessarily stuck to maybe the more inhibited part of yourself face to face. You can be a little wilder and crazier on a sext, which is, of course, part of yourself.
Okay.
And maybe putting that out there for your partner. I mean, I think, let's say this, very few men would hate to get a sext at work. You know, that would be like biggest turn on of their day, their world. That would be great. I think women sometimes are a little more anxious about receiving it, especially if it's a picture.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to be really careful, especially if the phone is owned by work. None of that. I mean, be really, really careful of using devices at work. I have a funny story. So a girlfriend of mine, she started work at the same place. Oh my gosh. I think you might know her too, Adam. But she started work at this new place, and her husband, to encourage her, sent her this crazy explicit email about what he was going to do to her that night. When she got home.
On her work email.
On her work email.
Oh my goodness.
And like a couple hours later, her boss, her new boss, came in and was just kind of going through some stuff. And he said, oh, and by the way, I get a copy of every email you get. She like went into the bathroom and nearly died. You know, she's like, she had to go home. She said it was her first day. She had to go home because she was so embarrassed. So you got to be careful.
Be careful about
stuff,
that. I think for me, the only, I don't know if it's a disagreement. I would just say that I think that it has to be consistent with your, in your relationship. Like, I get the trying on different personas, and I think that I think it can be fun. I think it can be playful. I think it can be a change of pace. I think it also has to be within what, I think, again, we go back to the like discussion between your partners. I don't know if you have to talk about what types of sex that you receive, but that it is a part of who you are as a couple, and that there's some part of that.
Okay, this is where we are going to disagree.
That's where we disagree. Okay.
Okay, so tell me what in the world, I mean, doesn't that limit the person from role-playing or being more of like the erotic self, like that is a surprise? I mean,
sure.
If it has to be congruent, how do you ever grow outside that?
Right. I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that there has to be ways for you to do that. But I also think that it has to, I guess maybe what I would say, the word I might use is when it becomes unsafe. And I think maybe that's a better, better way to say it.
I don't like unsafe. Tell me what you mean.
Well, I think that it can be.
So like a sext between a husband and wife, let's say.
Right.
What would be unsafe?
Let's say it this way. I think there has to be. Possibly. And I think this is, I want to say this too. Like, I think this is somewhat, this is new territory, like as we kind of build on this, right?
Sure.
So as we talk about it, I'm thinking that there's an element of build to it, that like you don't start off with a picture of your penis, for instance. Like, that's not the first sex that you send, right?
Maybe
like,
not the first one you send.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's And so like,
that
I think
might shock,
that's, that becomes,
shock your partner to death. And,
yeah, that might become, that's okay, more... Right. That's becomes more shocking
unless your partner loves that sort of thing.
Yeah, and let me
say,
if you know that they love that, that's what I mean.
If this is your first sext.
Yeah, I think it'd be like
I gotta say though, Adam, I mean, I have single girlfriends out there, and we're all about couples keeping it hot.
Sure.
But my single girlfriends say that like on sort of like those dating sites and stuff, it's like the second text. The guy is sending a picture of his penis.
Yeah, and I think that's
like, are you kidding?
That's what I mean. Like, okay, that's what I've heard too, is that that's the automatic thing that guys
husband,
go to. If it's your husband.
You know, if it's your long-term partner, I mean.
Yeah.
Even a first time,
you think
that could be great.
Okay. I may be way off here. I just think that it has to, like, if it's not within, I think it's like with introducing anything into your sexual relationship, you have to tread with the idea of testing the waters and seeing what's out there, and then proceeding from there. So you, but you want the caution, shock, and you want shock and awe.
You don't want, I do want a little shock and awe. Thank you. I've been married for 30 years. I do want a little shock and awe. Okay. No, I mean, I think that, you know, you are certainly, you know, coming down on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. But I think so many people don't have enough bravery.
Okay.
You know, they don't have enough courage as it is to introduce anything new into the partnership. Okay. They're so tenuous about it.
Yeah.
And so how do you ever break out of what is normal? And sometimes I think seduction and gestures don't work if they're too tentative.
Okay.
You know, that tentativeness shows anxiety, and it doesn't pull off the shock and awe that you wanted it to. And so okay. your partner is like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not really ooh about the gesture. It's ooh about the anxiety that accompanies it.
Okay. Maybe we can agree on this point. Would you say, too, that then you also have to, let's say I'm courageous mm-hmm. and I put myself out there mm-hmm. and do something that I wouldn't normally do.
Right.
You know, in a text. That's on my phone forever. Anyway,
that's my own anxiety. Okay, go ahead, Adam.
That is that I put myself out there. It, let's say then my wife does not respond to it, or my partner doesn't respond to it. Yeah. Right.
Nothing.
Like that scary. Yeah, I mean, well, and I'm saying, like, I think then in that case maybe we can agree that then I have to then read what's happening with her, what she considers to be seductive. If she likes. You know, she likes the pictures, if she likes the messages that I'm sending, mm-hmm. then I think that bold move is rewarded. But having to also be to read my partner and to kind of understand that as well. Would you agree with that part of it, or would you think?
Sure.
That that's...
I mean, I think if you know your partner and you know that they're going, maybe they are more inhibited, or they're mm-hmm. shyer, or, you know, they're not used to that sort of thing. Certainly start maybe gentler, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. Want to make love to you tonight, or thinking of making love to you tonight. I mean, that's sweet, you know, but I don't know. I think you should never read into a reaction.
Sure.
I think
absolutely,
you need to clarify, right. And say, hey, when you get home that night and there's been no response to the picture of the penis, you know, you're like, okay, was that too much?
Yeah,
what were you feeling about that?
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
And they're
right.
Like, hey, I'm just getting ready to text you back, but I just the children were around, so I couldn't take a pic. You know, you're like, phew, thank God, okay.
I think definitely don't want to discourage courage and boldness in that. Like, I don't want to discourage that, because I think you're right. Like, I think that people are often too inhibited to take the seductive route. I think more just looking at, for me, making sure you're reading your partner, understanding what they need and meeting them where they're at as well.
Yes, I like that.
Okay, good.
And I think tuning in.
Tuning in. That's right. That's exactly what.
Knowing your partner, but I also think sex, you know, takes some stretching at the boundaries. I mean, monogamy.
Sure.
You're going to be with that person forever. That's what we're about: is helping people in a monogamous relationship. And so, you know, somewhere along the line, it can get boring.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't shake it up a little bit, and having those daring moments sometimes are really fun.
Yeah, for sure.
And electronics, I think, is actually a little safer way to do it, just because it's one removed. You know, you can offer the new persona. So that's my point.
I think
you're right about generally electronics is getting in the way of real people being with each other.
So
we
talked about, too, like maybe offering just a few points about how we can kind of take out the third party, and removing that from our relationship. So it's not inhibiting. So that's helping rather than inhibiting our relationships, right? Sexting, as we talked about, I mean, I'm not against sexting, though. Don't hear that. But using that in a way that works rather than a way that is taking away from and using our phones that are getting in the way of our relationships, right?
Yeah.
Do you have any tips
so,
about that?
So, I mean, put the phone down for 2 hours every night.
Yeah.
No electronics during dinner, putting the kids to bed, and afterwards, like, sit and talk, you know, maybe with a glass of wine after the kids are in bed for at least a half an hour. So that, you know, dinner to the kids in bed to... that half hour of decompressing, you know, just having time together, face to face, eye to eye.
Yeah, I think that I've heard people refer to this as kind of technology-free zones or technology-free times, carving out a block of time where you're dedicated for it to be tech free.
And I've had people who swear that their job is so big and so important that they can't possibly put the phone down for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, what do you do when you're at another client's?
Yeah.
Like when you're at another client's, do you keep your phone on? They're like, no, I just shut my phone off. I'm like, well then why can't you shut your phone off for dinner?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
You know, so you got to find a way to do that.
And that goes back to our talk about putting your partner as number one. Like they've got to come before work. They've got to come before the phone.
And I think that makes us feel more sexual when we know we are that important to our partner.
Yeah. The other thing I might add to that is let's get the phones out of the bedroom. Get the phone out of the bedroom.
Killjoy.
I am the killjoy.
Phones out of the bedroom.
Yes, I think as we've talked about before, we talked about making the bedroom a sacred space. That's about That's about two things: about rest and about sex. And so
I got to read a funny sex.
All right, hit it.
Okay.
Bring it.
So person one says, "What are you doing?" Person two says, "Laying in bed." Person one, just laying in bed. Nothing else. Person number two, I'm eating cereal. And the other person says, ha ha ha, nice. What would you do if I was in bed next to you? Person number two, eat my cereal. Laugh out loud. I mean, if the cereal wasn't there, then I'd get out of bed and go get the cereal. I love for some funny sex out there that I get right
here. That's really funny.
That was good.
Yeah.
Not very sexy.
Probably take the cereal out of the bedroom.
Yeah, no cereal in bed.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I think it can't, like we've talked about, can be very helpful. But I also think we just got to draw some boundaries around it. And I think that's one that
you might want to consider. You know, definitely prioritizing couple time.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, tech-free. I remember we used to go on trips without our children with no phones. I mean, we would just like leave the babysitter, the name of the hotel, where we were going on vacation. I mean, for days and days without phone contact, even to our kids.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It can be done.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to our Technically Speaking Ménage à Trois episode of Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. You are listening to sex therapist Lori Watson and couples therapist Dr. Adam Matthews. Please find us on the web and Twitter and Facebook with Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy, RST for the web, and find us on Twitter and Facebook. Thanks for listening.
Hey, help us stay on top here at Foreplay. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take one sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.